This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You're in. Let's huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime fired up to announce that rejoining us after way too long, a former professional basketball player in both Brazil and Australia, a coaching presence at the legendary Oakland Soldier AAU team and Bishop O'Dowd's title-winning program, the founder, owner, and operator of Triple Threat Academy, where he has developed multiple college and NBA players, including Damian Lillard, and a guy who's helping us break in a brand new video platform today, Mr. Tony Fracero. What's going on, Tony?
Fellas, what's up? Thanks for having me.
Well, come on, man. The pleasure is ours. What a fun day to be able to record here. Let me start with this question. Is there any team, I mean, across all sports, don't limit yourself to basketball. Is there any team in sports that you sports hate more than the Los Angeles Lakers? Because there was something I ventured into last night telling myself I didn't really care, you know, like almost thinking like I wanted them to lose the game because I wanted to play Sacramento. And then the game starts and hatred hits me right in the face. Like the second I see that uniform, the second I see those fans, the second I see that floor, suddenly it meant everything to me. So, you know, for me, there's a real guttural reaction. True for you guys? You know, like is there a palpable hate for that Lakers franchise?
I think I have a little, but it didn't start until LeBron got there. But I'm more scarred by the Dodgers from the World Series Kirk Gibson home run when I was a kid. So I still have not gotten over that. But yeah, no, I definitely, especially having to watch 48 minutes of D'Angelo Russell foul bait, it's a rough watch. And combine that with Austin Reeves, whose game I love. But just stop with the bullshit, right?
Play. Generally speaking, and then we'll get into some details here, it's the entitlement. It's the entitlement from the fans that they very obviously, I mean, like they feel entitled to the playoffs. They feel entitled to the spotlight. They feel entitled to every free agent that hits the market. And then the entitlement on the floor. LeBron now, but that's been true forever. They expect to be handed things. And it grinds me, man. It grinds me. Maxime, who's your most hated sports team?
Probably still the Rockets. I mean, it's unfair right now, but that's just that when I without thinking about it, just especially with James Harden and Chris Paul, and I know a lot has changed, right? Chris Paul is now on our team. I don't hate Chris Paul anymore. It's weird that I kind of love him, but it's still the Rockets. That's what comes to mind. I literally see red when I think of them.
Gentlemen, let's jump in. We got a lot of real basketball to talk about. And I think the easiest way to access that is our glass half full. Tony, remember this. Look back. You can go just to the Lakers game. Go further if you want. We haven't talked to you for a while. Give me something you like or don't like about Warriors basketball.
So I'm really liking the energy they're playing with right now. The ball's really moving. Guys seem to be really clicking. What I don't like is it's only been a short, you know, two games. Jonathan Kuminga looks a little lost in the mix, which I thought before he was looking really like he's part of it. And now he kind of seems like he's on the outside looking in. And I really hope that's not the case. You know, we'll see over the next three games that he can get back in. But that's a little concerning to me because I think we're going to need him in the playoffs. In fact, I know we're going to need him, what he does in the playoffs.
Should they have started him? I almost texted you, man. You know, so that was one of the issues when he came back. You know, we heard from Kerr and like, no, we're hot right now. Let's not mess up with the chemistry we got going. But exactly what you said, you know, where we really need JK and maybe we need to like force feed him to make sure he's there for the playoffs. So what do you think? If it was up to you, would you have started him right from the jump?
No, you know, as a coach, starting is so overrated. I think it's more about how many minutes you're getting, who's finishing. But what I would have been more concerned about if they did start him again was if it didn't work or if it wasn't working as well, then pulling him back out. And that's where you have the issue. Unfortunately, when you get hurt and you're out of the lineup, shit changes, you know, yeah. And hopefully he can get back. But the whole, I mean, every radio station was talking about it for 6 days. Oh, should we start him? Is he expendable now? He's got to be part of the future. And like I said, hopefully he gets back into his rhythm. Not in terms of him scoring and doing the stuff he did against the Jazz the other night. I mean, they're fucking terrible, but more so in terms of looking like he's part of the unit, which he didn't last night at all. He looked really lost.
I hate complimenting you, Tony. I hate complimenting anybody. I'm way too selfish, but I will drop a compliment here. I genuinely enjoy our episodes because I learn. These aren't opinions. You know, this is what you do for a living. You develop people. You are a coach. So if it was up to you now, okay, we need JK. We need him for sure. We're going to make a difference at all in the playoffs. JK is going to be a big difference maker. What would you do in these next three games to kind of set that up? You know, is it force feeding him? Like what's the move to get him ready now with the runway we have?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's not force feeding him, but at least involving him in the actions on offense, right? Because someone who's engaged on offense magically is engaged on defense. It doesn't work the other way for most players. It's not like, oh, I'm really doing a great job on defense. I want the ball. I want to contribute. I want to score. So what I saw last night is he didn't get anything run for him. He was trying to create. He was trying to do stuff. And I think they just need to run some sets and kind of like they've been doing with Wiggins and really get him involved early as opposed to try to get him involved late. Because once you get someone involved late, you usually have lost them.
Yeah, I like that. And you're kind of acknowledging just by running actions for him, you're telling him without telling him, hey, we value you. We need you. Yeah. You know, let's get you started here. Maxime, glass half full. What do you got?
Can we just celebrate what an absurd win that was for a second? I mean, they talked in the post game about Draymond being like a splash uncle or something. That was a ridiculous first half. I didn't know what I was watching. It felt so good to have more or less a wire-to-wire stomp. I think it got to like within six at one point in the third quarter, but by and large, I felt like they were really in control. It feels like everything is clicking, hopefully not too late, and rather it's actually just at the right time. But Draymond, you know, getting kicked out once again led to him coming back with this renewed energy, right? Like, I mean, I've been having dreams about Steph crying, so I'm sure Draymond has been having dreams about Steph crying too and is showing up with all of the right energy. I feel really excited about if this team can play like that. Granted, no Anthony Davis, right? But I think that they have the potential to do what the Heat did last year and make it not just out of the play-in, but make a deep playoff run.
Watching them beat the Lakers, like I'd open this show with very obvious biased Laker hate. And so watching them go down last night meant the world to me. And I'll include Austin Reeves has a fairly annoying game. He's very good. I acknowledge the value that he brings to the Lakers. I will also say I find his game annoying. It feels to me like he went to a barber and said, look, I think opposing fans find my game annoying. What's a haircut you could give me that would make them hate me? Just hate me. And that barber nailed it. Like, holy shit. He knocked that right out of the park. Things I like or don't, I'll piggyback on what you just said. There's a bright percentages line that people talk about for Hall of Famers. If you can have a season where you are 50, 40, 90, then people will celebrate it. 50% from the field, 40% from three-point line, 90% from the free throw line. And that 40%, 40% three-point, that's a high number. And the reason I add that, for his career, Draymond Green has shot 29.4%. There is a reason why he's been left open. You know, that's the way the teams approach it. In this, his 12th season for Golden State, he is right now shooting 39.5%. He is 0.5% below the gold standard for three-point shooting. So, you know, what's something I like? Draymond Green, when he's on the floor, is having one hell of a season. You know who else is having one hell of a season? Klay Thompson. He has played the most games, gentlemen, the most games on the team. Team high 74 games. And in the last seven leading into the LA game, so those are the games he started, he's shooting 49% from the field, 40% from three, that magical number, and averaging 21 points. So another thing, what I like, how Klay's playing. What I don't, the definition of like the glass half full thing, you know, same thing. I don't like that Klay Thompson's probably playing himself out of that $24 million figure we've all been looking at. With each one of these games, dude, you know, it's not just us watching it. All those teams who will be kind of vulturing on the outside, offering him a starting position and money, are watching this too. And so going forward next year, negotiation-wise, I'm a little worried that he's playing himself out, which adds to this question, Tony, over under $24 million a year for him. What is, so that's supposedly the figure they offered him, right? So now we've watched this season play out. If it's up to you, if Myers gave you a call, how much money do you offer Klay Thompson this offseason?
You know, that seems about what I would offer him, because I don't think what a lot of people are taking into account is when you leave Steph Curry, your gravity, everything is on a whole different level, right? Not tons of players have left the Warriors and instantly done well, especially after playing with him for 12 or 13 years. So I think what Klay talked about, his, I think he said, you know, I have to evaluate my mental state. I think a lot of that was him having those conversations with Kerr allowed him to just say, you know what, I'm just going to ball, because he was pressing so hard at the beginning of the year. And like, if you saw him in the Jazz game the other night, he went into that game and you could see in his eyes, he said, we're playing a D-League team. I'm just going to go out there and dominate. And games like that can really get you going. But don't be fooled by the regular season. If they get into the postseason is where we'll really see if he's worth 24, 30 or whatnot. And if he really wants to stay here, I mean, technically he got paid for 2 years that he didn't play. They showed good faith and re-upped him, gave him this new thing. He might take a discount because he might have to go to a place where he can't drive his boat. You can't drive your boat. I mean, that's part of his life now, right?
All of life. No, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Where's your relationship with him as a fan? Now, I'll be transparent. There was a period of time where I got frustrated when he was shooting. I mean, especially the early shots and the shot clock and all that stuff. And over the last, you know, since he's reentered the starting lineup, I have softened that stance. I'm more confident in Klay again, you know, certainly than I was in October. So for you boys, both of you, how, you know, when Klay pulls up, are you happy now? You know, like, are you back to where we were, or how do you feel about him?
It's definitely feeling better. I don't know that I'm back to where I was in 2015, where I just like trusted him to shoot with his eyes closed. But I'm back to at least being excited about his shot. But I don't know, Tony, what do you see?
I think he stopped forcing a lot, but also I think having Trayce Jackson-Davis in there plugging the basket a little bit hides some of his defensive limitations, right? So when they do go small with Dre in the center, you see a whole different type of attacking and things like that. So I love Klay. My whole frustration wasn't so much with him. It was with Kerr not having that conversation like, hey, bro, pass the fucking ball when you don't have it. You know, stop forcing these shots, catch in rhythm. But yeah, he's definitely over the past, month and a half, really just seems a lot like the old Klay, you know, without a lot of the four shots. So if he can continue to shoot like this, it looks like he has his legs and things are, you know, relatively going well, then yeah. But at the end of the day, I think we got fooled last year too with the last run against the Kings. Like, hey, let's not change anything. I mean, 2 years when you're 33, 34, 35 is like 4 or 5 in the NBA. It's grueling. It's taxing. And I think that's what Klay keeps alluding to. Like, man, this is a lot of work to even maintain what I'm doing, not even just get better or whatnot. So we'll see. I mean, I hope he stays. I hope he takes a discount. And then I hope we go get some reinforcements as well.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, what you're saying is I wouldn't bank everything. When I'm offering him money, I'm not basing it only on these last seven games. And, you know, and let's see where the hell it goes from here. As far as complimenting Draymond, because you saying Trace Jackson Davis made me think of it. The near 40% shooting from Dre became so much more important now that Trace Jackson Davis is anchoring our defense on the other side, because offensively, TJD doesn't shoot outside of the paint. That's not who he is. He's a rim runner. And so, like, there's a danger in that. If Dre couldn't shoot the three, that's going to fuck our spacing right up. And him being able to hit that now, you know, totally unexpectedly, is one of the reasons that lineup with TJD is going so well, you know? And it's certainly not something we could have anticipated. Although I'll say, friend of the podcast, Sam Gordon, the new beat writer for the Chronicle, wrote a really solid article today. And in fact, that stat I gave you about Dre's percentages came from that article. And what he said was that the team noticed during preseason and during training camp that Draymond could shoot. And Dre had this great quote saying that it got to the portion where I'd pull up for three and Steph would start running back the other side before it hit the net. And that confidence meant the world to me.
I think that happened last night in the game on one of the plays. Steph did the around the back pass. That was sweet. Yeah.
Well, and we even got a little shot from Kevin Harlan, the TNT announcer, who said he's a flamethrower and then goes, I never thought I'd say that. You know, it's like, we get it, Kevin. How about you settle the fuck down? Just give him the compliment. We don't need to hit the other side of it. But boys, let's move to our next section here. Golden questions. Tony, you'll recognize it. It's our mailbag. The people write in, they give us questions, always deals with the Warriors, sometimes gets personal. Here's a first quote. Klay Thompson was a guest on the Draymond Green Show and shared what emotions he goes through when Draymond gets ejected or suspended. Do you agree with his thoughts? So I'm sure you guys heard it. We'll play it. But I love this topic. We're going to expand it a little bit. Also, unintentionally, like, great show synergy here. We talked about Klay and Draymond individually, and now we have a question that puts them together. Look at us, dude. It's like fucking professionals here. But before we get to what Klay said, because Klay joined Draymond on his podcast, and Dre asked him, you know, what thoughts do you go through, man, when I'm not on the floor, essentially, because of my passion? So if you could handpick somebody, Tony, on the Warriors organization to be in a public setting and answer that question, you know, some accountability, really, to establish accountability, who would you pick? And we're going to do two things with this. One, you're perfect for this. Maxime, you may or may not know, Tony has a lot of passion about Draymond Green. Both recognizes who he is on the floor and has, you know, maybe a little pent up frustration with who he occasionally is that prevents him from being on the floor. And then two, we're going to do this bracket style because, Tony, who doesn't like using brackets, dude? Brackets are fantastic. So let's set it up. The one seed of the person you'd want to have talking to Dre in a public setting and adding some accountability, Steph, versus the four seed, CP3, to finish out the bracket, then we'll jump into it. The two seed is Steve Kerr. The three seed is Klay. So first portion of it, Steph versus CP3. Of those two, who would you prefer explaining to Draymond while all of us watched what he's done when he's not on the floor?
Well, I have to go with Steph, but I'd also like to see CP3 because I think he would get the most honest because he doesn't have that relationship. It probably doesn't hit him as hard, but he could dig a little deeper. Whereas I'm not sure Steph would really just say what he really, really wants to say. So I'm going to have to say Steph. He's got to advance, but by a narrow margin, because I think CP3 could probably break Draymond down to tears.
Love it. No, I completely agree with you. And it's Steph's relationship with the team and Draymond that makes him the one seed and why you couldn't in. It's also Steph's relationship with Draymond that, you know, like, I don't know if he's really going to do this. And I think where CP3 it is in his career, you know, like, he's kind of far along. He doesn't have the relationship with the team. And I think he'd view this as a way to really impact it. You know what I mean? Like some historical shit. And I think he would go in, and it sounds like he has a real relationship with Dre now. So like it would,
and he could also speak from the outside, like what everyone else feels when he does this, and say, "Hey, you know, you look like a clown." you know,
and we're happy, you know, as opponents.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we want, you know, and like, and that would resonate. Maxime, where do you go here?
Well, Tony, you bring up such a good point, and that was a lot of what I was feeling while Klay was giving his answer to Draymond's face. They have so much history that you felt like Klay was, I mean, he was super diplomatic. And it's the type of thing that's like, not only do we have 12, 13 years of history of them playing together already, but there's an expectation that they have a few more together. Whereas CP3, right, the conversation is, oh, this is an expiring contract. It's going to be so easy to get rid of him in the offseason. At this point, I hope that he comes back next year. But I think if I'm picking between Klay and CP3, seems more likely that Klay will be here. If I'm picking between Steph and CP3, like, there's as much reason on the back end to say, like, well, fuck it. Like, let's light this place on fire because I'm not going to be here in 3 weeks anyways.
It sounds like Steph moves on. During that answer, I started having difficulty keeping my head in frame. Like, it's a real, like, new format here. So if I suddenly bounce out, my apologies up front. Go to the other side. Why don't you answer this one first as well? Kerr versus Klay. Who would you prefer in a public setting, Tony?
Well, we saw Klay in a public setting for the most part, and you could tell he was holding back just a little bit. He got to about 90%, and then he kind of made it okay again. I'm going to have to go with Kerr on this. What I'd like to see is this happen in a with a hidden camera, where you're doing like an exit interview or something. Say, hey, tell me the truth, and then that footage get leaked, kind of like the punch. So that Draymond gets punched in front of everyone. Like, oh, that's how Steph and Kerr really feel. But I'm going to have to say Kerr on this because Klay, I mean, he's doing his own thing. It probably doesn't affect him as much as everyone else.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I won't go too deep down this rabbit hole, but we heard in a recent podcast featuring Bob Myers that they never found the person who leaked the video of the Draymond punch. And it just seems, I don't know, man. It seems a little shady.
That's not true.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like you don't go out of your way when the thing happens and be like, you know what's going to happen? We will not spare any expense. We will find this person and we will let them know. And then very quietly months later, be like, oh yeah, we never found anybody. Yeah, don't worry about it. You're like that. There's a disconnect there that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But like I said, I digress. Curvy Klay. If Klay, we'll play the clip here in a second. If Klay had done what he does when he's folding his box score up and you know, throwing it out into the crowd, and it's this extemporaneous, I'm not even worried about what you guys are hearing or seeing. This is just me talking. He has an ability to be raw. And I think he would give some real great stuff in that setting. It's not what he did. I think he gave us his real emotion, but he was locked in with Draymond. He was watching him. He didn't go into like a flow state, you know? So I think there are some limits on it. I think Kerr would be a little canned. I think he would come in there with something specifically to say. And because of that, Draymond would recognize it as a message that was being delivered to him, as opposed to like some real thing that was said, you know? So I think there's limits on both. So between the two, if I could get Klay to get into that like real, like let's be emotional, I'd pick Klay. So Maxime, you're our tiebreaker. Kerr, Klay.
I first of all, I agree with you on the locking eyes with him. You know, while Draymond was asking the question, first of all, you could tell that Draymond was uncomfortable asking it. But Klay really took his time listening, watching, and I feel like I don't know that I've ever seen him make that much eye contact with anybody ever. I mean, I don't know this guy personally, but it's like, wow, no, this is something that he really, really cares about. We also, at this point, right, if we're taking, like, you know, these arguments about, like, Shaq in his prime or whatever, we're taking Kerr in his prime, then maybe it's a different conversation. But right now, Kevin Durant talked about sort of by the end of the tenure, you could tell that, you know, he didn't respect Kerr the way he did when he came in. I think at this point, Draymond has heard from Kerr probably in every single possible way across every single possible conversation that he could have. So, like, at least we're going to get something a little bit more candid with Klay that Draymond will listen to. So for that reason, I'm going to take the 3-seed Klay over Kerr here.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It goes Steph and Clay before we get the final answer. Tony, I meant to ask you this up front. Where are you with Draymond right now? Right? So, like, we're far enough away. I mean, this is our process. You know, there are enough games get played. He plays really well. He's a flamethrower on the offensive side of the ball last night. He's real key to us. So how are you feeling about him, man?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing great. Again, it's the antics, right, that have put them – in a hole for the last 2 years. And ask me, how do I feel when he gets kicked out of the game 3 minutes in? I think it's ridiculous. I think it's fake passion. It's not this, oh, I couldn't. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's trying to intimidate or do whatever he's doing. I mean, it's gotten old at this point, but he has been playing really good. And overall, the Warriors have been playing good. So if he's helping us win now, the management and the higher ups have said they don't care what his antics do. We're gonna reward you. Then as a fan and as a critic, you have to say if that's what they want and that's what Steph wants, then it doesn't really matter what the fuck we think, right?
That image of him hugging Steph at the end of the tunnel when he's looking at the camera and Steph's back's to us, it's the only thing that continues to bother me. It's what it backs to me, and this is me 100% guessing. We will never know. We will never know. But that image is what I pictured when you started to say he knows what he's doing. You know, like that was not the face of a man who was shocked by his response. You know, it was like, oh,
he knows because he admitted. He said, I meant to turn my head so they didn't hear what I said last, right, when he got tossed. And you know what he said. He said something that I can't say. But if you know if they hear that, you're going to get another tech.
Yeah, of course.
So even if his face was turned and they heard it, he was still getting tossed. So don't say it. I don't even know what the play was he was arguing about.
He broke three. You know, don't touch a ref. Touched him. Don't make eye contact. Made eye contact. Don't use that word. Use that word. You know, and then you did stay in the locker room, man. You don't need to be in that tunnel. But fine. So the question, finish the bracket, just for you, Steph or Clay, who would you pick?
Can I throw in a wild horse and say, rather than hear from those two, I'd rather hear from Wiggins?
Huh, whoa. Why? And why did you wait to the finals to add this guy? We could have put him in a lot earlier.
Well, because you guys didn't agree with me on Kerr, I had to go over your head. No, I'm kidding.
Wiggins, we're not talking about it.
I think that Steph and Clay are too close. Kerr too close. Their relationship is too good. Whereas Wiggins came in at a time where Steph was hurt, right? And so he was on the team for however many games before COVID ruined everything. So he's kind of been part of the young guys coming in, Poole getting punched. That was his friend. He sees Draymond, you know, support Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is with Wiggins' wife's sister. You know, there's a lot of stuff here. So it'd be interesting to hear from someone who is involved, but not fully the whole 12 years as part of the core, just to say, you know, I see it from both lenses because I'm a veteran that, it's fucked up. And then as a person who may not feel part of the core, it even separates us even more, you know, because at the end of the day, I think other than your podcast, every single Warriors podcast, the intro is all Steph, Clay, Dre. It hasn't introduced any other people to make them feel like part of the long-term vision, right? Mm. So I think getting his perspective might be more valuable because he might be a little more raw too because he doesn't have he's had one championship with him, but he wasn't there from the beginning. But going back, I'd rather hear from Steph. if I have to pick between those two.
No, so look, I wanted your Wiggins answer to be dog shit. It wasn't. That makes a lot of sense to me, especially the separation that, you know, you want it to be someone he'll listen to, but you want that person not to be held back by the relationship. So that makes sense to me.
Well, think about it. When your wife or girlfriend says, okay, give me the truth. You can't tell the truth. You can get about 90% there, right? Like, oh, how do I look in this outfit? You have to be
I don't know what you're
honest,
talking about.
Honest dude. Enough, yeah.
I've never said anything but 100% the truth to Erica. So you're on your own.
You're a 1%er, Bram. You always
that's
have right. been.
No, that is factually accurate. I'll agree with you on the brackets. I mean, it's Steph's team. Draymond has come out and said multiple times, Steph made me, you know. And so if Steph was willing to say, Draymond, I watched that tunnel video. You know, I saw it, dude. You're like, that's not okay. If he went public and I think really talked about how much it bothered him, I think it would resonate. But enough bearing the lead. Let's play what Klay Thompson actually said.
I'm very afraid of this. I'll be brutally honest with you. When I get ejected or something of that nature or suspended, what do you feel? How do you feel? It's going to crush me, but I need to hear it.
When you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. We could never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. So I know the other team is very happy you're not out there. They relax a little bit. They let their hair down because our muscle's gone. Our enforcer, the heartbeat of our team is not out there. And we've been through so many battles, reached the mountaintop, been down the mountain, had to climb back up. And now we have another real shot at this. So at the end of the day, we just need you. And that like disappointment and that feeling of shaking your head that just comes from like, dang, man, we can't do this without you. And we're not the Warriors without Money Green. That's just a fact.
So it felt like he answered that more from a perspective, I want to tell Draymond not to do it again because we need him, rather than how it makes him feel. Because if you didn't start off an answer with, it pisses me off, it makes me upset, then you're not telling the whole truth. Mm-hmm. So he kind of went backdoor on it to say, hey, Draymond, we need you. So stop doing it, rather than saying, you know what, Dre, it's fucked up that you do this stuff. It's not necessary. We don't need it. We need you.
He went compliment sandwich, right?
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Like, I love you. God, it hurts when you're not here. And we need you because you're so important to us. You know, that's different than, let's say, did you see Steph crying? I mean, did you see him crying on national television, man? You know, this guy who you said made you, did you see him crying because you wouldn't be out there for him? That's how we feel. You don't need to ask me. Watch the tape. You know, you could have been a lot more aggressive about it. But let's move to our next question, boys. And it's one that might be even more pertinent as we speed towards the play-in here. There are three games left, and it's clear Golden State will be playing LA or Sacto in the play-in. What do you hope happens? I'll change that a little bit because it's not crucial here. There's a chance that the Warriors make it up to the eighth seed and avoid this mess. But it's fair to say that's the most likely, you know, that they're going to be playing either LA or Sacramento. And so the two options would be probably, hopefully, playing the Lakers at home or maybe playing Sacto on the road. So let's ask it a little bit different of a way. Why would you want to play the Lakers at home, Tony? What's the upside of that matchup?
Well, the biggest upside is I can sell my my tickets for a lot more money if it's a home game against the Lakers. No. Yeah, the Lakers make me nervous in a one-game scenario because I feel like D'Angelo Russell is going to go for 67 points. They're going to shoot 47 free throws, and we're going to look back and lose by 1 point and go, man, what happened? I've watched actually several of the latest Kings games, and I think they would, whether home or on the road, that would be the most favorable matchup in a one-game scenario.
Is there any upside of playing the Lakers? I understand that because I'm with you. I don't want that matchup. And at the end of this, I think we're all going to say Sacramento. But like just glass half full, if we have to play the Lakers, is there anything about that matchup that's an upside?
I think the upside is that Bram gets to get on his soapbox and be like, fuck yeah, you know, we beat the Lakers. I hate them. But in terms of actually playing, now there's just so many factors that can go wrong playing the Lakers. And we've seen it. We've seen it over and over when we play them.
Dude, it's all storyline, right? That's its upside. Yeah. Vindication. I'm happy to see them lose. We lost to them last year. You know, like watching LeBron, like it's all storyline. It's things that would make the matchup exciting, but it's nothing that would make the matchup advantageous, you know? Which brings us to Sacramento. You know, what would be an upside on the Sacto matchup? You said you've been watching them. What's sticking out to you?
I think their depth is really been hit. And our depth is rising. So we can keep coming off with weapons from the bench, whereas they're struggling. Their top five are struggling, you know? And I just think mentally, we still have them for last year, right? They're going to try to be the revenge game. They're going to try to write the script, whereas I don't think our guys are scared of them. In the two games we lost to them, we had leads in the last minute, and we literally just said, hey, here's the ball, go score. We're going to blow this game. So the free throws against the Lakers really concern me, because when they have an advantage, they're almost impossible to beat, and they always get an advantage.
And in that Lakers matchup, you know it's going to be like a Rui Hachimura. It's going to be some random-ass person. I mean, you said D'Lo, but it'll be someone who goes for like 1,000. You know, and nobody thought that was possible. And
Hood Schifino is going to come off the bench and Trump 37, yeah.
Sacto, Malik Monk hurt. That's the depth stuff you're talking about. And then I remember there's this quote from John Wooden, the legendary UCLA guy. And he said that towards the end of their run, because, you know, they won whatever it was, 12 championships. He said that when people came into the gym, the Pauley Pavilion, they basically opened up with a 10-point lead before anybody took a shot. Because you would see the championship, you know, rafters and like are in the rafters, and you'd see the banners and you'd react. You had a human reaction to how good UCLA was.
I think Oracle 2017.
Okay. Bingo.
Right.
And I think that because of our relationship with Sacramento, every basket we score in the first 2 minutes will be like three. We get up 10 against them. That crowd will have their heart stolen. That team will be very worried, you know, and like, I'm not saying that it's a guaranteed win, but if we're looking for not storylines, but advantageous things, that's an advantageous thing.
In the couple games that we lost, we really struggled to contain Monk, his speed, his force, his energy. We just couldn't match it. So him not being part of that is huge. Now, De'Aaron Fox, he's really hard to stop. Sabonis, solid player. So I don't think it's a walkover, but I'd much rather have them on the road than see the Lakers at all. And the other reason is I don't want to watch another 48 minutes of Reeves and D'Lo. Just after last night, I came to peace with, oh, I hope this is the last time we see them this year.
I imagine that Reeves is with his barber right now, making sure that he's at peak annoyance. Maxine, who do you pick here?
So one more mental advantage that we have over the Kings, which is definitely the pick. If I was Steph Curry, right before the game, I would get De'Aaron Fox a pair of just like the sweetest, like purple and black shoes. And I would write on them, because they're my shoes if I'm Steph Curry. Did you guys see that he wrote for some baseball player? I don't follow baseball, but he wrote, "I can do all things" on their shoe. I would write on De'Aaron Fox's shoes, "I can do all things." Just a subtle reminder. This is the ultimate little brother thing, right? Like Michael Jordan was famous for creating these narratives in his head. It doesn't matter how many narratives you want to create in your head. At the end of the day, you know that you're wearing the guy's shoes who you're playing against, right? That's like an inevitable trump card. It's like add another 10 points on top of it. So I think there's just so many reasons why we have the Kings number.
Do you guys hope?
Hey, Brett. Graham, quick question. What I didn't notice Reeves' hair last night. Is it when like a straight across bangs? What was it?
Comb over. It's like an aggressive comb over. It's like someone who's trying to cover a bald spot, but they don't have a bald spot, so there's no reason behind it. And as far
I'll
as
have to go check aggressive that out.
Interactions, I like the idea of Lacob texting occasionally Vivek, the owner from Sacramento, and just asking passive aggressive rhetorical questions like, where do you clean your championship rings? Or like, where do you guys keep your trophies? Like, where's that at, dude?
Where are the A's players going to live? Yeah.
That Sacto thing. Oh my God. The idea, I am an attorney, as you know. We occasionally have to do depositions. We'll have somebody in, and it's like a formal setting where the other team comes in and we all have to be there. You know where I don't have my depositions? In like gas station bathrooms. Like, I want them to see a nice place and to associate my firm and my case with high class. The idea that Major League Baseball is allowing its product to go forward in a minor league stadium is bananas to me. It is preposterous. What the hell are you talking about? I'm sure it is an exceptionally nice minor league stadium. It's probably the nicest minor league stadium on earth, even if it was. Want to know the first word in it? Minor. Get the fuck out of here. But this is not an A's podcast, so we do not have to jump down that. Instead, boys, our final topic, basketball court. So, Tony, you are now a judge, my friend. In basketball court, I have like social interactions that feel off to me, but I take everything too hard, everything. And so I occasionally need to lean on people who are a little bit calmer than I am. And you tell me whether or not what it is I experienced is fair. Okay. So we rewind the clock. This is about 3 weeks ago. I've been wanting to see Dune 2. Everyone's been telling me it's great. Couldn't find a time to do it and end up going to a late night movie, which I haven't done forever, man. 8:45 at Bayfair. And again, hadn't been to Bayfair. Go in there. It is basically completely empty. Me and then another person who was sitting next to me, maybe 3-4 seats to my right, which is a little annoying. I'm not sure why you had to be in my row since it's an empty theater, but fine. That's not the thing that jumped out. As we get past the credits, movie starts. This fool goes into his bag, takes out a very large paper bag, and then starts reaching into the paper bag and taking out things. And it becomes clear that he has brought a full Chinese food meal to this movie. And we're talking three different containers, you know, like, I mean, rice, he brought a little plate to mix everything up on. And so he didn't talk, you know, he didn't necessarily spill or leave a mess, but he's like rustling, making all this goddamn noise over there. And I'm okay with bringing food into a movie theater. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've snuck, you know, a million things in. But Chinese food and then multiple dishes. I was furious. By 30 minutes in, I couldn't concentrate anymore. All I could do was look over there. So, honorable for Sarah. Acceptable? Are you allowed to bring in a multi-step meal into a movie theater, or should it be in one container?
So my take on any food that comes into a movie theater, it has to be eaten with one hand, no utensils, and it can't leave a smell that stays for the entire movie. So if it doesn't meet those criteria, then no, Chinese food can't be in there because, you know, it probably smelled like Chinese food the whole time. You probably wanted some, like, fuck, at least share, make me a plate. And having utensils while you're eating, that's not appropriate. Now, if it was a hamburger, a hot dog, some fries, something like that, with one hand, no utensils.
I like the one hand meal. I was more involved in the development of his meal than I was in the development of the plot.
By the time
he's like reaching, I've just told you, I was like fascinated. Like by the time he's reaching back in, what's the second thing? And then the plate came out. I don't even know what happened during that portion of the movie. I mean, at that point, I'm just facing him and watching.
I will give him a pass if he was a dad and he just needed to get away from his kids and everything, and this was his quiet place, then he gets a pass. But if this is something he does all the time, I'm gonna eat while what? That's not appropriate. What would he have done if it was packed?
Okay.
Would it be appropriate if it was full? Is it appropriate?
To be fair to him, if you are gonna break rules, you know, like social norms like this, one of the places you might be able to do it without repercussion is an 8:45 showing at Bayfair. It's one of those ones. Maxime, what do you think, man? Would it have angered you? Not was it okay? But if that happens, do you think you get sucked into the emotion of it, or like whatever? This dude's eating. Who cares? I'll just watch the movie.
Do you think there's another dude right now hosting a Warriors podcast talking about how pissed he was that some other dude showed up when he was about to be the only person in the theater, could have eaten his Chinese food in peace and been by himself watching Dune 2?
And then that random person spent the entire time watching him eat. Just like, what's going on, man? Like,
yeah. Wait, was part of your staring at him because you wanted some? You're like, I want some orange chicken. I want some sweet and sour pork. What was he eating?
I was staring at him the same way I'd stare at someone if they like were walking down the street in a dolphin costume. You know, it was just like, what's like, oh my God. Like, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I can't miss a single second of this dolphin experience.
Fork or chopsticks?
Fork, which is another thing to bother me. In fact, great question and additional detail. Real fork, metal fork, from what I could tell.
Oh, he came prepared.
Oh, he was all the way in. I think he'd been planning this for months. All right, boys. Huge fun, Tony. We missed you. We needed you. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on.
Come on, man. For everyone out there who needs way more Tony Fusaro in their life, where do they go?
Yeah, if you have kids that are looking to go to summer camp, do some basketball, play in some leagues, www.ttahoops.com, Triple Threat Academy, or you can find me on Twitter at Triple Tony F. Go Dubs.
Let's go. Let's focus on the new format here, boys. So if you are listening, we appreciate you. You may want to try watching. Check out our YouTube channel. It's about to get a lot more busy and a lot more competent. The thing we are dealing with here, the robust features that Maxine have put together, we're really proud of and we'd love to share with you. So check it out. It won't be, it'll be worth your time. Let's put it that way. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.